Somebody said, Max said it's real, right? You know, you say Max is real.
Real.
Thank you, Lord. We thank God for all that He's doing. One big thing, we thank God for being God. Amen. Just a reminder, on Sunday, we will know that the Lord is trying to stop you. Don't persist in doing it your way. If God is trying to stop you, don't persist in doing it your way. Amen. Because God will try to stop us when we're heading the wrong direction. But we have to make a willing choice, a free choice to do what's right. And if there is a time when mankind needs the Lord, today is that time. Amen. Unnecessary shootings, unnecessary violence. Amen. I watched a history program last night. I didn't know back in Harlem, I believe it was back in the 70s, I didn't know they had all that, all those black gang members ravaging Harlem, cutting people up with chain, with circle saws, dismembering people. Way back in Harlem, I said, wow, I knew they had, you know, that stuff going on with the mobs in Chicago, but did y'all know it was in Harlem? Oh, who's from New York City? Y'all know that? Yeah. You did? Wow, Harlem used to be a bad place. Yeah. And the guy had a nerve to call himself, the main guy had a nerve to call himself Preacher. So, but we're living in a very dangerous time. You know, a preacher would just be upset. If he didn't like the way you look at him, he'd just shoot your head and keep going. You know, so these are the days and times that we're living in when the Bible says, the heart of many will wax cold. You know, and the love of many shall wax cold. Men will be deceiving and men deceived. So if you do anything, keep God involved in your life. Amen. He's a protection, He's a keeper, in spite of it all. Amen. God knows how to keep His people. So tonight we're going to continue our study of Genesis chapter 6. We're going to ask you to stand as we read a portion. I won't try to read all of this now, but we'll read verses 1 through 13 of Genesis chapter 6. And then as we proceed, we will recap some of what we went over last week from Genesis chapter 5. And the more you study God's Word, the more God's Word is just unbelievable. Amen. God has everything laid out in such perfect order if you just study the Word. Amen. But verse 1 reads, Genesis 6, do we all have that? Verse 1 reads, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man, and listen, watch the terminology, right? Remember, when it's a relationship, it's the Lord. When it's just created, it's who? God, right? So when you don't have that relationship, as we went over on Sunday, Balaam tried to force God. But the Lord never spoke to Balaam. Who spoke to Balaam? God, because he never had a relationship with the Lord. So tonight is so important. Let's keep our relationship. Don't just live as creator, but have a relationship. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created on the face of the earth. Who said that? The Lord. See, I'm going to destroy the man that I've created on the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man, earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with vile. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto him, Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Amen. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word. And the church said, the word of the Lord is blessed already. Now, before we get to the sixth chapter, I'm going to recap what we went over last week about from Genesis 5. That the Lord told Noah, he said, the end of all flesh has come unto me. Amen. And remember last week, if you all go to page one of your notes, we're just going to go down to the message in the genealogy of Genesis 5. God, I was reading some studies, he said, God's work, God's original language was Hebrew. Every word and every letter meant something in Hebrew. Because the original language was the pictograph. Right? It was the pictogram, our hieroglyphics. So everything was done through picture art to express God's feeling. So everything had a meaning. God didn't just put anything out there, but everything had a meaning. And we know it was some thousands of years later when he converted from the pictograph or the pictogram to the alphabet, using letters to express what was originally expressed in pictures. Amen. So even the English, we get our English alphabet from the Hebrew, right? Because the first letter in Hebrew is Aleph, and the second letter is Bet. That's where the alphabet comes from, Hebrew. Right? The original alphabet comes from the Hebrew. So the whole language of God is what language? Hebrew. The language that God initially spoke was all Hebrew. But the message, all right, we went over last week, genealogies, when God put all that stuff there, sometimes it doesn't seem like it's just doesn't have any purpose, right? But Adam, we went over his name, and then this is going to tie in with Noah, and then we go back to the sixth chapter, all right? So Adam meant man, Seth meant appointed, Enos meant mortal or mankind, Cain meant sorrow. Now this is the genealogy, you know, because you're just like, why is God giving us all of this in the fifth chapter? These are the sixth chapter. Amen? Mahaliel means the blessed God. Jared means he who descends. Enoch is dedicated or teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means the despairing. And Noah means rest. So when you put that whole genealogy together, it says the man appointed moral sort, who is he? The blessed God. The man, who's the man? Jesus. Right? The blessed God shall come down teaching, and his death shall bring the despairing rest. Say, well, how do you get that out of the genealogy? Because God did it. Man didn't do that. God put it there. So it makes me look at genealogies and the word of God differently. Because a lot of times when we read God's word, we just skip, skip, skip. But that's why Paul writes, you need to study, right? To show yourself approved unto who? Unto God. All right, now let's go back to the Genesis, the sixth chapter. And there's a whole lot of controversy over portions of this. And with the help of the Lord, we have to try and eliminate some of the controversy according to the word of God. Right? Because the Bible says that God be true and every man a liar. You can't take one scripture and make a doctrine out of it. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So verse 1 reads, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, many people teach that these sons of God were the angels. body camera once in a while? Seriously, so that's what a lot of people teach. That's why the Nephilim, a lot of people really believe that the Nephilim were, as, because if you read in verse 4, it says that the sons of God came into the daughters of men. But before they came into them, they took them to be wives. Well, how can an angelic being marry a human? First of all, how can that be? Right. So, with that in mind, let's go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Right. Can we let God's word be true?
Amen.
Let's let God's word speak. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, at the 23rd verse. So, many believe that the sons of God, because it says in Job, the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. Well, we have to understand which sons of God that is. Actually, before we go to Matthew, go back to Genesis, the 4th chapter. Go back to Genesis, the 4th chapter. Let's just read something. Because God has two lineages. After man fell, and after Cain had slain Abel, Cain received a curse from God, and that became the ungodly seed line. Cain became the ungodly seed line. Amen? Now, let's go to the last verse of chapter 4. Right? Chapter 4, and let's go to verse 26. Well, let's go to verse 25. We'll read this. So then we know that Cain represents the evil of the bad seed. Amen? Verse 25 reads, and Adam with his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, says she, has appointed another seed in the stead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him were born a son, and his name was Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This became the sons of God. Right? So there's two lineages. There's the godly lineage, which is through Seth. Then there's the ungodly lineage, which is through Cain. All right. So when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, those were not angelic beings. And let's go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and we read verse 23. All right, this is when the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in angelic beings. So they're going to ask Jesus a question, hypocritically trying to test him. The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, and they don't believe in angelic beings. Amen?
Amen.
They don't have to be too quiet. This thing's going to be imminent. He's going to be talking to himself. If you don't say amen, say, oh, it's a song. All right, so verse, that's right, you don't have to say that. Verse 23 says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is, they say there is not even resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, you know, they all, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, always went back to who? Moses. All right? Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. So now we're talking about what? Marriage. Right. So the issue is marriage. Amen?
Amen.
Now there were with us 7 brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And at last, the woman died. So they're tempting Jesus, trying to get him in. It's bad when you try to outsmart God. It's just a bad. You're in bad shape. Whether you're in the Bible or in today, don't try to outsmart God.
Amen.
So God knows the end. He knows your thoughts. He knows the word before it's even in your tongue. Don't try to trick God. Nevertheless, let's keep going. Therefore, in the resurrection, now in the resurrection, we're what kind of being? Spirit being. We're no longer flesh and blood, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. In resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the 7? For they all had her. They said, we got got you there. You can't answer this question. See, we got you. So whose wife is she? In the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? Amen? Jesus answers them to them, we do
care.
First of all, we're making a big mistake. For you don't know the scriptures, nor the
power of God.
They're talking about the resurrection, right? We're talking about marriage. The sons of God married the daughters of men. Sons of God were what? They say they were angels. Right, so let's see what Jesus says. So he says, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given
in marriage,
for as the
angels of God.
So if they're the angels of God, he said, they can't marry. Right? How can this be? So how could the sons of God, has God changed, first of all?
No.
If they can't marry in the resurrection in the New Testament, they can marry in the Old Testament. He said, you don't know what the Bible teaches. You don't know the scriptures. He said, you do great yet, not on the scriptures, nor the power of God. When are you going back to the Old Testament? Going back to where they said the sons of God marry the daughters of men. It just doesn't happen. Right? Because he said they should be as the angels. The angels might not give or they taken in marriage. Right? Who said this? The authority of all mankind, God himself. If he said in the New Testament, guess what it applies? In the Old Testament as well. He said, they are as the angels of God in heaven. So, if Jesus said they can't do it in the resurrection, then how can they do it in the beginning?
Amen.
Let's think about that. And then if they were married, he said, so the sons of God took the daughters of men and they were married, they took them as wives. That means they took a oath. Just think of how facetious this really is. How is it possible that angels had wives? So, I mean, what do angels are in heaven? If they're wives, they have to stay on earth.
Amen.
Right? The Bible said male and female created he them. Man and woman created he them. Therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his. They got it all wrong. Because male and female, angels have no gender. That's why you don't marry. All right, so when you read about Nephilims and that's how we were giants, it's not according to the scripture. And Jesus said you do greatly err because you don't know the scripture. Amen? All right, now let's go back to our notes. I just wanted to point that out in Genesis 2. So everything down kind of centers around Noah. All right? Now, in the beginning, check the page one, it says, the meaning of names. What's in a name? You will find out that when it comes to God, there's a whole lot in a name. Many of the Old Testament leaders, who named them? God. And many of the Old Testament leaders, God named them. Amen? So in ancient times, the name given to children had significant meaning, as we saw in the name Adam, right? We know this last week. Adam, which is Aleph, Dalet, Mem. From Aleph, you get the first letter meaning Adam. From Dalet, you get the first letter meaning David. And from Mem, it's the first letter of the Messiah. Right? And that's very important because we will find out a little later when we get to the big controversy that the Jews had when Pilate wrote his inscription on the cross. Amen? So just remember that for later. Okay, skip down. It says, okay, so what else is in the name of Noah? And we already know, we read the name, genealogy. What's in the name of Noah? The name Noah in Hebrew is prophetic. Noah's name is prophetic. In Hebrew, the word for Noah is essentially the same with a little more throatiness involved as Noach. The Hebrew letter Arnon, which is an end pictured as a seed of life, or sometimes a fish meaning seed of life. And just a little side note, when you see the pictograph of Nun, you have to wonder how, way back then, that they knew the seed. How did they know what the seed looked like? Because they didn't have microscopes. You know how they knew? Because God did it. God put it all in order. Right? So man, when they got microscopes, said, yeah, now we can see the seed. Like the sperm, they knew it was a seed. Well, God put the seed in the beginning. Because he's God. And he don't need nobody's permission. All right, so let's keep going. All right, and Jet, which is the picture of the wall of fence, meaning to cut off. So the name Noah in the ancient Hebrew pictograph is life will be cut off. Right. Noah's name means life will be cut off. Curiously, Noah spelled backwards in Hebrew is a Hebrew word for grace. Noah backwards is grace. Remember he said Noah found grace in the eye of the eye of God. So Noah is going to be cut off. But then when God turns it around, he's going to give them
grace.
Only our God can do this. Okay? Regarding Noah and the flood, I cannot help but think of the word gen grace like I'm looking in a rearview mirror of a car, grace going forward. Noah and the destruction of the flood looking backwards. God said, you know what, I just flip it. Right? And I go from being cut off to grace. Amen? Life would be cut off, but the life is cut off, then grace. Genesis 6:8, we just went over there. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Romans 11:33. Now we're talking about God. And like I said, I don't go by nothing anybody says. I said, no, I just go back to the interlinear Bible that I started learning the Hebrew. Right? Because that was God's original language. So I don't go to the commentators and the dictator and the other tater and the other tater. I just go to the Word of God to try to decipher through the Word of God what is that. Yeah, because everybody's giving their opinion. You know, like that, there was a big debate. What was the mark on Cain? Well, if you go back to the pictograph, you don't have to debate. You know it was the cross. Right, so they're debating this. Some say this is 666. Others say it's the Star of David. Well, if you go to the pictograph, it's plain and simple. It was the cross. That was God's original language. So what happened is man has taken God's original language to try to interpret it based on what they think. But that's how the Bible says, let God be true. Right? Let God be true. Don't go by what you're saying. Let's keep going. So Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge. And we're talking about who? God. We're not talking about man. None of us can do what God did. I don't care how brilliant we are. I don't care what kind of Einstein or what your IQ is. You can't do what God does. Right? Actually, whenever you get a chance to read the Proverbs 8 chapter, I forget, it starts down, not in the beginning, down a little bit, a little further away. In wisdom, say, our wisdom was there with God from eternity. And he makes this whole thing out from that point on, all about Jesus being with God in the beginning as wisdom. Read that. He's just phenomenal. Right? You just got to read. Some stuff you got to do on your own. I'm not going to do it all for you. Right? You have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible says that you shall be filled. All right? So it's all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How on searchable of God's judgment and his ways are. God's ways are. And it's right now. Alright. Also, let's look at Abram's name being changed to Abraham and Sarah's name being changed to Sarah. Let's look at the name. Alright. So God asked his name to change Abraham. Hey, is God. The age. He asked his name to change Abram to Abraham, and Sarai to Sarah. Hay is a picture of the presence of God in the heart. Both were important and barren until the Lord changed their names and added his breath of life and presence. So after God added himself to Abraham, then added himself to Sarah, they conceived. That's why God called all those things that be not as though they were. He said he quickened the dead. Why? All they did was add God to them. So he said, no, you can't, Abram is the name that you hang on the other side. Right? You can't have that name anymore because I'm about to make a new covenant. Right? So Abram was the name he had in Ur of the Chaldees. Abram is the name that he had of the pagan worship. So God said, I can't use you with a pagan name. Y'all want to go check your name? Right. So what did God do? He added his name to both of their names. And then after he added his name to them, they conceived. Right? Well, let's keep going. Somebody said, don't go too fast. Slow down. Both were important and barren until the Lord changed their names and added the hay, the breath of life. The presence of God in their hearts, similar to the Holy Ghost being shed abroad in our hearts, right? When we get the Holy Ghost in our hearts, it brings about a change. The Bible says when we get that, we are what kind of creation? A new creation. Right? We're not the same anymore. When we add God in our heart, we shouldn't be the same. We should be a change. Just like Abram, Ham was 100, and Sarah was 90. So it was past. But when you add God to anything, listen, whatever. When you add God to it, it changes. So when God fills us with the Holy Ghost as God's presence in our heart, he changes us. If we let him. He changes us, but we have to let him change us. We have to willingly accept what God is giving us. Amen. So I'm not going to be here next Wednesday, Lord willing. So I'll get as far as I can tonight. Then we'll figure out who's going to finish the notes. Yes. Yes. All right. Which is given unto us. To them allowing them to be able to conceive and give birth to Isaac. And there's a whole lot in Isaac and Ishmael's name too. When you go with the pictograph, what God originally said, it tells about Isaac, how he's going to be a wild man. Even before it happens, and it tells about Ishmael, how he's going to be a wild man. The pictograph tells his name, tells what he's going to be. His name, remember, names meant something in the Hebrew. So Ishmael, the pictograph told what he was, and Isaac had told what he was. Alright, but let's keep moving. So under the Chaldean, under pagan name, you see Abram is, I don't know, Aleph, somebody. It's good enough. All right, that's Abram. But you see, to add Abraham, all he did was added who? Abe, which is God. Sarai, which meant princess, when he added God to her, she became the mother of nations. Right? The Lord God added his heart, the hay, to them. The breath is spirit into them. Hebrew is the language of who? That's the original. What's the original language? Hebrew. That is the original language. The Bible is the inerrant, divinely inspired word of God. The Bible is not only the word of God, but each individual word and each individual letter is divinely placed and constructed to tell a story and to reveal the richness of God's word. Each one tells a story. In short, within the very word Hebrew, which is Arabic, God has shown that we will see the Son. The word Hebrew, I say, God is just phenomenal. will see the Son with his hand on the cross and see that as his covenant. And just, let's say this. Just in Hebrew, the pictograph tells us, in Hebrew we're going to see his hands on the cross. Just the word Hebrew in itself, all right? Whether in the first word of the Bible, also the word of covenant of God, or the first time God speaks the word covenant, or within the very name of the language originally used to give God's word, the message is the same. Jesus is God's covenant. He said in 1:1 Genesis, and all throughout the Bible, he says Jesus is God's covenant. Now here is the Hebrew in ancient pictograph. Alright? Ayin means to see. Beth means house or tent. Resh means first, the highest person or man. Yad means hands or work. And Tav, we know that is the cross of the covenant. So in the Hebrew, we see that the Son with his hand on the cross is the covenant. Right in the words of Hebrew. Amen? The Hebrew word for covenant in Scripture is brit. The first mention of the covenant in the Bible is in Genesis 6:18, which we just read. When God said to Noah, I will establish my covenant with you. Frequently when God uses the word covenant, he says, my covenant. Right? Who said it? My covenant, God said. The Hebrew for my covenant is brit. Meridi. Yeah, the word you have, Meridi. Right. The Hebrew letters used in the spelling of Meridi are Pei, the Hebrew covenant of B, Resh, R, Yod, Y, Tav, T, and Yod. And we know what they are. The modern Hebrew alphabet is derived from an ancient Hebrew or Semitic pictograph alphabet, which we know is the pictogram. Each pictograph represents a letter and a meaning that correlates to the pictograph. The pictograph could be used to spell words and to tell a story. You know, actually my wife and I were watching the history program the other day. They were showing all these pictographs, how all these things they found thousands and thousands of years ago, even when they found what the King Tut's, King Tut's, they had all these years, and they said when he went down there with nothing but pure gold, they think it worth so many billions of dollars. I wish I could have found that. But you know what was on there? Hieroglyphics. Way back then, because pictures told the story. Right? Pictures told the story, and they went through a whole lot, you know, but we're not going to go there. Use the Hebrew word for my covenant. Bed is derived from the picture of a house or tent. The meaning was a house, and then as in the house of David. The rest was represented by the head of a man, meaning the first or the highest person. Together, the best rest, we learned that means the bar means the what? Sun. We learned that means the sun. The yacht was pictured as an arm and a fist from the elbow to the hand and symbolized hand or word. The tab is pictured as a cross, more specifically two cross sticks, and symbolizing a mark of covenant. The story of my covenant is but one example, but a monumental one. The story of my covenant is that of the entire Bible. In short, God's covenant in his Son with his hand on the cross. That's what the covenant said. That's God's covenant. God's Son with his hand on the and this is just everywhere in the Bible when you really look at it. Here's a visual representation of my covenant. All right, let's go to the page 5. My covenant. This is it. The visual representation of my covenant. You see the hand on a cross. All right. Then I was shocked when I was doing tithe. I said, wow. Even, you know, the word tithe points to Jesus. The pictograph, now we're not talking about the word or the meaning, we're talking about the pictograph. The original language when God gave the tithe. Don't get quiet. I ain't gonna listen to y'all, but you gonna let God speak. So I said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. This says that God speak. We talk about the tithe, all right? The Hebrew word for tithe is me'aser. In Hebrew, me'aser is spelled by the Hebrew letters mem, the equivalent of our letter M, which is pictured as a wave of water, and symbolically means nations are water. Ayin means O-E, pictured as an eye meaning to see. Shin, pictured as two teeth, meaning to consume or destroy. And Resh, pictured as a man's head, meaning the first or highest person. This is how it was originally done, before they put in the alphabet. Alright? God promised Abraham he will make him a great nation. He then asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. Thus, tithe is a picture of Abraham, the great nation, seeing the destruction of the first son. That's what tithe is. Alright? Isaac was a son of promise as far as God was concerned. Even though he had Ishmael, remember Abraham said, oh, let Ishmael reign before you? And then in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, it said, God tempted Abraham, he said, take thy son, thy only son. But he didn't have an only son, but he only had one son that God recognized. That was the first son. Right? He said, and carry him up to the mount that I will show thee. And the whole sacrificial thing with Isaac points to Jesus, because when he found the ram, the ram was caught in a thicket, right? When they crucified Jesus, they put a crown of thorns on his head, right? And remember, who carried the cross or the wood for the sacrifice? Isaac, right? Isaac, he said, behold, my father, the wood, the wood is the lamb for the sacrifice. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. But who carried the wood? Isaac. Right. So there's so much in there. But don't get excited. Alright. So the tithe, we get back to the tithe. How tithe also represents an act reciprocated by God, in part because of Abraham's obedience. We now know that the nations have seen the destruction of God's
first son.
That's what the tithe means. The nations will see the destruction of God's
first son.
First son. Regardless of your theology or negative opinion regarding the tithe, Abraham tied to Melchizedek in Genesis, the 14th chapter. You can read that later. After being blessed by him, and his great grandson got credit for it, Levi. Right? And his descendants received tithes from the rest of the nation. I can't think of a better reason to tithe than simply because we have been blessed by God in his tithe to us, a sacrifice. So the pictograph of tithe means the sacrifice of the first son. Only God, listen, only God can put stuff together like this. Right? Well, everything in this commandment points to a covenant. Well, what's the covenant? Jesus. We say, well, I need to get up on the tithe. God did.
Yes.
Everything that happened, you know it's good. I went to the ranger, he couldn't do it. He could do it. Everything that happened in the Bible, that was good. All right. Let's keep on moving. I'm going to get far enough now. I'm going to give y'all a chance to decide who's going to finish. Okay? All right. Because this Wednesday night is Bible class for Genesis. So y'all can't cheat when I ain't here. Just let you know. Alright, Luke 24:44-46. So even the tithe points to Jesus being sacrificed on the cross. So the thing is, it's a tithe for the Old Testament. When did Jesus get sacrificed? Tithe, they say, is only for the Old Testament, then it's not for the New Testament. But when did Jesus get sacrificed?
New Testament.
New Testament. And then besides that, just to throw the plug for tithe. Jesus said he played tithe of aloes, mint, and cumin, But you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, faith, and mercy. He said, these ones you have done, but don't leave the others undone. But well, what was the other? Keep God. I'm just trying to help you out. Because when you tithe, you honor the death of the firstborn, it's the covenant. Who said it?
God said
it. He put it out there. He can't argue. You want to argue? Come on with me. I'm going to pay my tithe. Nothing else I'm going to do. I'll talk to old person. I don't know who it was. And he said, I was in the hospital. But the only thing I could think about, even though I wasn't doing good, is I had to pay my tithe. I think it was Bishop Leon Williams. I believe it was. I was talking to him in the office Sunday. And he said, yeah, but the only thing I could do is I had to pay my tithe. I thought, well, I'm sure God will be faithful. I said, wow. Remember he said he did it so he'd been in the hospital so many times he can count. And God has delivered them. He said, but even in the hospital, he said, no, Lord, God has given tithes. Now, you know my tithe in this on board. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all gonna do fundraising every day to make money?
No, sir.
Finish! Put it like stumbling out of my feet. Well, the only way the church get money is through what? Now I'm gonna tell y'all a secret. Let me tell y'all something. Some of y'all know this. My salary has paid the mortgage for the church before we came in. Because I took care of it. So I pay the church mortgage and utilities every month. But I still pay my tithes a little bit ahead. You know, because I want to be faithful. That's the dude that didn't do it. Because when we were trying to get to church, one of the bankers said, oh, you're going to be just like everybody else. Once you get in the church, you just want to go back and get your full salary. I said, now that's going to tell the truth about God. Amen. So the $900 a month, I personally paid, not the church. The $300 for the utilities a month, I personally paid, not the church. Out of my salary. Throw that in the little barn there. Keep it. All right, that's no charge. I said, I could say, well, I can't pay my tithes. Because I already paid the church mortgage and utilities. But I still pay my tithe. And if God will bless me with anything else, he blesses me with health and the right mind. And I thank him for it. And I got to edit this out. I'll be able to. I'll just be faithful to God. Don't cheat. Don't cheat God. Because every time you cheat God, he gets out of his top. His first one. All right, Luke chapter 24. Listen, I ain't telling y'all to say amen enough. Amen. Y'all ought to know by now, if y'all don't never say a word, I would say the truth. Listen. All right. Luke 24:44. All right. Now we're talking about Jesus makes references. Paul makes references, and they always go back to the Old Testament. Because he was dealing with the Jews, and they did not accept the New Testament. Verse 24 said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you. This is after his resurrection from the dead. That all things, what? All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Is it Moses? Is it the prophets? Is it the Psalms? All of that is concerning me. Where is in there? Then opening their understanding that they might understand. He was teaching them from the New Testament. No. He was teaching them about him and the Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. What about Jesus? Amen. John 5:46 and 47. He said, for had you believed, this is Jesus speaking. He said, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he. Did Moses ever mention Jesus? He didn't mention him directly, but he wrote about it. He said, but if you believe not, his He didn't just write one thing, he wrote what? Writings. There's more than one thing. How shall you believe my words? All right? And let's go to page 7. Jesus said, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to what? But verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now all four of the gospel writers mentioned the sign on the cross. All four of them. And we know the synoptic gospels are which three? What are the synoptic gospels? Matthew represented by a lion, Mark represented by ox, Luke is represented by a man, and John is represented by an eagle. Well, it's amazing. Way back, God had John represented by an eagle because John has greater insight, or gives us greater depth and insight concerning Jesus than any of the other writers. The synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But they don't go into the depth of Jesus being the Word and the I Am like John. So John's gospel is completely different. Amen? All right. So John is sign of the cross, but only in John is the sign called the Titulus in Latin report as being in three languages. Titulus being a title. All right. The others are suspicious, but John says it is a title. A title is a name. Like only John, he has that insight. Okay? The initialism, I-N-R-I, right, you see it a lot today. This is what they put over Jesus in the Latin. Alright, so like Adam, from Adam we get the man to David to the Messiah. And this is how God works. A lot he uses initials to give a message without giving the whole word. Okay? In John 19, which reads, Jesus, the Nazarene, King of the Jews, in John 19:26, that this was written in three languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Now, John, the only two gospel writers that mention that it's written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek is John and Luke. Right? They're the only two. The others just tell what's written. But they make mention of the fact that it's in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The Greek version of the initialism reads I-N-V-I, representing, which I can't say, which is translated Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Judeans. Gives rise to an argument between the Jews and Pilate in the following verses in John. For the high priest of the Jews kept saying to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said that he's the King of the Jews. Because if it's what they put up there, the Jews were offended by it. They said, you can't put that up there, you gotta put, he said he's the king. Not that he is the king, a definite article, okay? So if we go to John, let me finish here. He said, Pilate said, what I've written,
I said.
Alright. John 19:19-24, and Pilate wrote a title. Now everything, listen to me, everything points to Jesus being God of the law. Alright. So Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now only John, he's the only writer, that's why he's not part of the synoptic gospel, he's the only one that mentions Pilate. Matthew doesn't talk about Pilate, Mark doesn't talk about Pilate, and neither does Luke. They don't talk about Pilate, all right? So Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Only John says Jesus of Nazareth in his inscription, which we'll see in a minute, okay? This title then read many of the Jews for the place where Jesus was crucified, which was? When those Jews saw what was written, they were offended. Well, why were they offended? All they said was Jesus of Nazareth. the king of Egypt. So why were they offended? Right? Isn't that something to think about? And see, John is so, he's the only one to say, where he was crucified was nigh to the city, which meant they could see it. John gives more details about the crucifixion than the other writers. Alright? Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the king of the Jews, but he said, I am king of the Jews. Pilate answered, what is written? It is written. Then the soldiers, just to show you how God's word is true, then the soldiers, when they saw Jesus, 24, when they saw that his thing had no, it didn't have a seam, instead of ripping it, they cast lots for it. For his vesture, which is tied into Psalms 22:18, we know in this prayer time. Let's keep going. My time is running out. Why were the high priests so upset? Here is a point of Greek grammar. In English, there is a difference between saying the book and a book. Right? There's a difference between the book and a book. The is called the definite article. That means there's no guessing what that is. That is what? Definite. The is the definite article, and it indicates one particular definite book. Also, the in Hebrew pictograph is the F, or the ET. The is the ET. What is the ET? We learned that in the very beginning, in Genesis 1:1. The ET is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end is the octave, and it is the cross. It is God. So they said, wait a minute, you can't put the. Take it down. We know what that means. That's why they were offended. Who were offended? Everybody knows who? The Jews. Yeah. Isn't that what John said? The Jews were offended? Okay. Whereas A is the definite article, it indicates any book, not yet specified. In Greek, there is also a definite article, and it is used in Pilate's description, referring to the king of the Jews. And what kind of title?
Absolute
title. You can't debate this. Right, you say that, no, you take that down. Pilate said, what is written? It's written. They are only willing to accept the fact that he could have called himself a king of the Jews. Perhaps one of many people taking this title upon themselves. It is very insightful, John, both in terms of the Jewish psychology and the Palestinian linguistic environment, and his understanding of Greek grammar. Let's get down a little bit. The Hebrew version is also quite correct. That's the Hebrew version, which we cannot read. All right. But it equals Jesus the Nazarite and the King of the Jews. John is the only gospel writer which identifies Jesus as God. Because he's evil. The evil seeks further than in him. Evil will fly up there and see a mouse on the ground and get it. That's why God referred to him evil, because his insight, his prophetic knowledge was beyond the rest. Alright, so he's the only one to refer to Jesus as God, the Word and the I Am, in John 8:28. Alright. The Jews understood the I Am to be the first and the last. The F and the Tab. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, to be Yahweh. All right? The one true God. Now these, you guys can read these in between. All right? Let me go to 10. Maybe I might finish. All right, so now let's go to base 10. This is the inscription written in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew that was over Jesus' head. All right, see what's in red? Right, so we say, from the bottom we get the I-N-R-I, that's what they use, just the abbreviation, all right? And then the Greek, the center is I-N-V-I. But then we get the inscription for Lord, or Yahweh, out of the Hebrew, okay? Jesus tells them, now listen to what Jesus said in John 8:28. That it will be revealed who he is when he is lifted up. What, when he's what? He said, when I'm crucified, you're going to know who I am. How are you going to know? It's going to be on the He said, you know who I am, what I am, lift it up. All right? So John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that
I am he.
Now, John is the only one that refers to Jesus as who? I am. None of the other writers refer to him as I am. So Jesus said, when you lift me up, I am. You're going to know that. Where I am, remember Moses, he said, well, who should I tell them sent me? He said, tell them that
I am.
I am. So John is writing. He says that Jesus said, then you shall know that I am he. When I am? Well, how do you know when you lift it up? He just said, when I rise from the dead, he said, when you lift it up, why? He already knew what was going to be on the inscription. That's what the dude said, take it down. Oh, the depth of the riches. Both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. There it is. All right, so I have a loose, we just said that, and we know that Jesus told them, he said, before Abraham was, I am. All right? Well, let's stop there. You all can read like about 12. It gives you, let's go to, well, let me finish this up. Can I take 5 more minutes? Can I have 5 more minutes and I'll finish? All right. Well, all right, so let's go to page 11. All right. We know what Yahweh means. All right, so John. God's name, as it appeared in the ancient Hebrew manuscript in the Bible, 2:4 was Yahweh. Right. When the Jews saw the inscription over Jesus' name, guess what it said? Yahweh. They said, wait a minute, you can't call him Lord. He said, take it down, house of Israel. Alright, John 17:1-6 reads, these words made Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, now listen to what Jesus said. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son may also glorify thee. Remember he said, my glory will I not share with another. So if he's glorifying the Son with the same glory as the Father, and he won't share with another, then the Father and the Son have to be the same. Otherwise, the word of God is not true. As God has given him power over all flesh, that he should give, well, I thought God gives eternal life. How can the Son? Because the Son is God. All right? Eternal life to as many as God has given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the
true God.
The what? How many? One true God. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast. And sometimes that name, which is in Greek, to be also even therefore. So you can read this, that they may know thee, the true God, even Jesus Christ. Right? But let's just keep going a little further. 4, he said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory, with the glory. When did I have this glory?
Before the world
was. Which I am
with
thee?
Before the world was.
Glorified thou me with the glory that I had. The Jews got really upset there. Wait a minute. You just said you were God. Because he is. Remember, why would Jesus say the only true God? The what? Only true God. I think 1 John. Hey, pull up 1 John 5:20. I haven't looked at it in a while. I think. Pull that up for a second. Let me see something. Let me just see something. 1 John 5:20, I believe. All right, yes. And we know that the Son of God.
Is God.
We know that the Son of God what?
Is God.
Is God. And has given us.
Understanding.
Who gives us understanding? The Son of God. That we may know him that is
true.
True. And we are in him that is
true.
Who are we in?
Jesus.
Who are we in?
Jesus.
That we may know him, that we may be in him that is true. Even his Son, Jesus Christ. All right.
Y'all
can play with that one. All right, let's keep going. All right. So, everything points to Jesus being the true God. The only and true God. All right. So, he says, verse 6 on page 12. Verse 6. He said, I have manifested thy
name.
What was his name?
Jesus.
But he said, I have revealed, manifest means to reveal. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Therefore, counsel of the scriptures are arranged below. What Matthew wrote, what Mark wrote, what Luke wrote, and what Jesus wrote. Alright? It's highlighted in there. Matthew wrote, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Mark wrote, the King of the Jews, the verse that we read. Luke wrote, this is the King of the Jews. John writes, Jesus, the King of the Jews. What was the significance of using three languages? It was custom for Rome to use just some letters written on a rough board affixed to a cross to proclaim the reason why a person was being executed. Although three languages were not always used. In the case of Jesus, they used three. Well, why? Latin was the official language of the Roman Empire. Julius Caesar, the Caesar ruled Rome. It represented human government, power, and conquest. Latin. Greek was the international language of culture. It represented human wisdom, art, and commerce. Hebrew was the religious language of the Jews. It represented? Well, we already read it was in his name, right? In Hebrew, it's a covenant. The law of God and the means by which God made himself known to man. In the providence of God, all of these human and divine institutions were addressed when Jesus was crucified. The word King of the Jews was a public sneer at the Jews by Pilate. And this was compounded by his additional title that their king came from Nazareth, that is, he was a despised. We'll stop there. Right. We'll pick up from that later. So, in everything in the scripture points to Jesus. And it doesn't point to Jesus as being the Son of God, but it points to Jesus as being the only true God. Right? The Bible calls him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he's the King and Lord of Lords, only in the scriptures. All the scriptures point to Jesus, the covenant, and that Jesus is God, as we all say. Any questions? Adam's language? Adam's original language would have to be a pictograph. Right? I would even have to be a pictograph. Because that's the language that God used. He created the throne. But if they do, Adam may have used a different language. Every animal that was born, God brought to Adam, and Adam did what?
Named
it. It was Hebrew. But the original, even the pictograph is on Hebrew. So that's a good question. I don't have the answer, so I don't know the question. But we know that when they brought the animals to Adam named every animal. Anything that was named, who gave it the name? He even gave Eve her name. Right? God said this, he said first he called the wife. Then after she messed up, he said, you just Eve. No, the Eve was not God. Do we have any other questions?